the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome back to the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. Today is February 5th, and we are, Jerry, just 4 weeks away from that 1 month that makes college basketball special, that 1 month where everything just comes to a head, that 1 month where the world stops, where I famously said the first Thursday in the NCAA tournament is the best national holiday in the entire earth. And I truly believe that. Jerry, it's basketball season. You know, there's no Super Bowl, there's no college football, it's basketball season.
Yeah, I guess we're done with football, especially after signing day today.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. And the college basketball season is picking up. It's you know, people talked for a while like this, there weren't going to be great teams. I think that's been debunked a little bit. And the games are exciting, close games, interesting outcomes. And so I can't wait for March. And today we're going to hit on that. We've got a question about a team that has some elite talent, that's probably some lottery talent, that's not doing well. 24/7 Sports Recruiting has added a very interesting new tool to their recruiting metrics, and we want to talk about March. Who does Jerry think is going to come out ahead of where we might have them right now? Who might be a little overrated for March? We're going to get into all that later. But first, Jerry, I wanted to start with this new tool 24/7 Sports added in their recruiting. So as the listeners, as you probably know, 24/7 Sports is really good recruiting coverage. You know, obviously Jerry's among the leaders in that team, and so we have this crystal ball where we give our experts, I should say, not we, because I'm not involved, but our experts give their percentages of where they think each recruit is going to end up committing to and going to school. And now we've added a new 1 to 10 confidence meter to the crystal ball projections. Jerry, I wanted to, you know, give you the stage and let you talk to the listeners about what that is, what this does for you as a scout, as a recruiting expert, and I'm just going to cede you the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea. It'll make things a lot easier for me on Twitter because a lot of people have this conception that the one, it's kind of fun and interesting. Like the crystal ball is an entity unto itself, which it's not. It's just individual people like me or a publisher of a certain team site or anyone who's, you know, registered to vote on it. And it's people outside our company. It's just an accumulation or an aggregate of those individual picks. So, you know, it might be a close, like here would be an example of where the meter, I think, can really help the public out. Say you got a prospect and pretty much everyone thinks he's 65%, let's just say Kentucky, and he's 35% Louisville. Well, the way it has been, there's no way to really relay that because every individual can just make one pick. So if every individual sees it 65% Kentucky, they're all going to cast a Kentucky vote. So therefore, it's going to come out 100% Kentucky. So this meter is going to help us, you know, I think, monitor that or sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, quantify kind of that 100%. Like, that's 100%. Everyone voted Kentucky, but that doesn't mean everyone's 100% thinking it's going to Kentucky. So it allows some wiggle room. And wiggle room may not be the right term, but I think a more accurate representation of what the crystal ball experts actually think.
And so is there someone, let's say, in, I don't know, the class of 2021, because the class of 2020 already pretty much locked up. Is there someone in the class of 2021 who you recently put in a crystal ball projection for that you could use as an example? And I know I'm putting you on the spot, so.
I don't know. That's a tough one. But I have a question. So how does this play out? But by each individual, it's going to show their meter, or are they going to use, like, say I say dude's going to Kentucky and I put a 7 on my meter. How does that 7 on my meter register into the total computation?
I don't know.
I'm interested to see that because I don't know either. But, yeah, I definitely think it's a move in the right direction. Although I kind of did like people being kind of fooled and having to figure it out, and it gave me some questions to answer. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think for those you know, fans at home, I think it's just helpful to contextualize.
Contextualize. Great.
Not, you know, because 100% just means everyone thinks it could be as close as 51%, just like you said. So
yeah, it's an odd thing, right? And then
100% can mean a lot of different things.
Well, and you could have a guy that say 60%, just use the same schools we're using. Say 60% Kentucky, 40% Louisville. In the total votes cast, but the 60% who are picking Kentucky, let's say on average they have an 8 confidence meter. You know, that's the context you're talking about, contextualizing. I'm just really, really curious how it's going to look in the final formula.
Look, and the one thing we know for sure is that the one place where I imagine the discourse will not change is on Twitter. There's no such thing as context on Twitter. There's no such thing as nuance on Twitter. So no matter what happens over there, I imagine it'll still be the same lawless, Jerry hates my team kind of world. But let's talk about one team in specific, because University of Washington. So things coming into this year look pretty good. They bring in 2 top 10 players in the 24/7 sports composite. They've got freshman Isaiah Stewart, power forward, number 3 in the composite last year. And I guess, you know, coming into college, he was listed as a power forward, but really a point forward-ish guy, in Jaden McDaniels, number 8 in the 24/7 sports composite. And things were looking good. And yet here we are, it's February 5th, and Washington is sitting at 12-10, 2-8 in the Pac-12, with a win early in the year over the consensus number one team in the AP poll in Baylor. So I and everybody else in the basketball world literally have no idea what to make of Washington. So Jerry, fix everything for me. What is going on? What's going on in Seattle?
I can just give you what I think. Number one, they're ranked 302 in the NCAA in turnovers. In other words, they turn the ball over more than most any team in the country. 302, that's pretty low. I think in general they're soft. Jaden McDaniels is one of their top players. You know, he just physically, he's not there to be an enforcer, to make plays in traffic when it really, really counts. I know his numbers are pretty good. But just in general, they're soft with the basketball. I don't see great point guard leadership. I watched a lot of that Oregon game, and the whole game came down to Peyton Pritchard was on Oregon, and Washington had no one like a Peyton Pritchard. And so, you know, you can have Isaiah Stewart all you want. Give me the better point guard. So I think that's an issue for him as well. And a part of the softness, I don't think they defend individually well. I know they play zone, but even if you play zone, you have to guard the basketball. You have to guard the guy in your area. And I just don't think they're tough enough.
Well, it's funny to me that you say tough enough, and not because I disagree with you, but it's interesting that you say they're not tough. They're like number 2 in the country in blocks or block percentage.
They can jump.
So it's, I was going to ask. What does it say to you about this team that they are both soft and a poor defensive team, and yet still, you know, blocks? What's happening? How can that be?
Well, because the man drove by the guy guarding him, so someone came over and had to block the shot. You know, having a lot of blocks is not always necessarily a good sign about your defense. You know, if you play great defense, you really don't have to block any shots because they're taking contested jumpers, and you're not really trying to block those jump shots. So that would be one explanation. And, you know, they have talent. They're okay, I guess. I mean, their record doesn't look very good.
It's a very confusing
in the Pac-12, but their toughness is it involves, when I say tough, that's a mental and a physical thing. It has to do with chemistry. You know, like, they're not – Washington, I just see individual players out there. I don't see a unity. I don't see them creating a situation where, you know, player – right, what's the phrase I'm looking for? The sum is greater – the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That's kind of what's missing, in my opinion, with Washington, because every great team has that. And, you know, so much of that depends on, like, a point guard who can really – I don't see the leadership. It's hard for a big man to be the leader of the team because he doesn't have the ball in his hands. He's not as visible. You know, you got the point guard out there who's well, in their case, it's a zone, which – I can tell my voice. Not a huge fan of just that as your base D. But, you know, the big guy is more the anchor. Guards typically, you know, the captain.
Mm-hmm. So two things jump out to me from what you just said. You know, when you're talking about, you know, really being tough as a team, mm-hmm. Well, this team gives up more offensive rebounds than just about anybody. They give on like 32%. Yeah. Of defensive rebounds, yeah. They allow the other team to so they're not.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, and I didn't look that up.
They're not closing out possessions.
That's a great example of a lack of toughness.
And the other thing is, you know, I do want to contextualize the situation with their point guard. You know, they coming into the season had Kwadi Green transfer from Kentucky, guy who, you know, didn't quite fit in with Cal. Kind of left the program.
Wasn't quite good enough, is how I would phrase it.
Well, you say however you want. He left Kentucky, went to Washington, and he was fine. He was a point guard for them, and you know, whether or not he was playing up to what they had hoped he would be, I'm not sure. But he was at least on the team until 4 weeks ago. He was ruled academically ineligible. He's not playing anymore. So the guy who was supposed to be their starting point guard, coming into the year, no longer on the team. And over the past five games, you're looking at. Jaden McDaniels is playing point guard a decent amount.
Yeah, that's a problem, and that's part of toughness. How the heck does a guy become academically ineligible like that? You know, there's something going on in Washington where they're not on the same page. You know, they're not marching lock and step. And to me, that's part of the whole toughness thing. You know, how does your starting point guard how does that happen? Obviously, his head wasn't where it needed to be.
The only thing I can add to that is that there's a weird thing. Most college universities work on semesters. A few work on trimesters, but the Pac-12 actually works in quarters. So he can be ruled academically eligible again, I'm pretty sure, just as we turn into the postseason. And so who knows? Maybe they'll get a point guard back, but it's not like they're getting Allen Iverson. You know, it's not like they're getting Tony Allen to come help toughen up their defense. They're getting Kwadi Green. So, you know, whatever's happening in Washington, the crazy thing is, you know, they're 2-8 in conference, but they've played good teams well. I mean, you've got the win over Baylor first game of the season. They, you know, kept Gonzaga pretty close. Eventually, Gonzaga pulled away, but that was a two possession game within the final 2 minutes. And Washington at 12-10 is almost certainly not going to make the NCAA tournament. But they, you know, with the amount of talent on this team, this could be spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you can't rebound on defense, you're not finishing possessions. They're not finishing games. When you don't finish, you don't win.
Well, having nothing to do with their on-court thing. Like, if I just told you a team was 12-10, mm-hmm. You know, on February 5th, you would say, you know, there's a 95% chance this team is not making the NCAA tournament. I mean, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none, barring, you know, winning the Pac-12 tournament. Just because, like, once you get 10 losses, that's pretty much game over. But it'll be interesting. And
well, they're 2-8 in the Pac-12.
Yeah, 2-8.
Yeah, well,
it's nuts.
You know, maybe a resurrection will happen.
Do you think either of these guys, Isaiah Stewart and Jay McDaniels, either of them going to come back after this year?
No.
No. They're both gone. So,
why would you want to come back and play for a losing team? I mean, think about it that way. I mean, no, they're going to get paid. They would probably like to have $1 million+ in their bank account.
I completely respect that decision and that choice. If you offered me $1 million or to play basketball in Washington, I would choose $1 million. That's going to take us right to our break. On the other side, we're going to talk about some teams that Jerry actually likes, not like Washington. Not that Jerry dislikes Washington, but just likes them for the NCAA tournament, and a couple teams in the top 20, top 15 that Jerry thinks might not have such a good march. We'll be right back.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. I'm Tani Levitt. I'm here with college basketball's assist king, Jerry Meyer. And we're about to run through the top 25, talk about some teams that Jerry is not so high on for March. So real quick, Jerry, we've got Baylor, Gonzaga, Kansas, San Diego State, undefeated San Diego State, I should say, Louisville, Dayton, Duke, Florida State, Maryland, and Villanova in the top 10. Which of these teams do you feel like has a chance for the floor to just bottom out underneath them?
Like, based on the way I'm looking at this is based on the number, do I think when it comes to March and my expectations, are they over or under ranked? Can we look at it that way? So, I mean, on the negative side, San Diego State, I'm just not sold on them yet as an elite team. And I need to watch more. I've watched some, but just, you know, that's just my opinion right here. And like I told you before the show, I haven't done an analytical breakdown on this. I'm going to do that this week. So then I'm going to come with that approach next week. But San Diego, I'm a little down on compared to their ranking. Not sold on Maryland, but not. And, you know, Villanova, I like Villanova. Villanova and Maryland the same to me. I'm just kind of like, eh. I think on the positive side, I think Florida State's really dangerous.
Yeah, what do you see from them?
Just like what you always see from, you know, when I say what you always see being length and athleticism, they got experience. They have older players. They got some guys who can play basketball.
That helps.
And they've been around the block. I think Kansas is good. It's dangerous. I think Baylor's legit. Gonzaga concerns me because of a lack of foot speed. I'm just huge on quickness, especially in March. They seem like sort of like a plodding team to me, and I like a more dynamic point guard. You know, like point guard by committee. You know, you can do it. It can be successful, but I personally prefer just kind of like that's our guy.
So then let me jump ahead to a couple teams in the teens, yes. One on the positive side and one on the negative side of that kind of dynamism you're just hinting at. Let's look at Seton Hall on the positive side, a team with
like
a lot
Seton
of
Hall.
Action, and then Iowa, a team with without foot speed.
I was all right. Two sons,
good basketball team,
just
I wouldn't say foot speed is something I would talk about.
Well,
that
of course
team.
Not. I do not disagree at all. Man, Garza's growing on me. That guy is really, really good. He's going to be really good in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, but he couldn't jump over a tissue box.
Perhaps. He's really, really good. And so, I mean, I got your point. Yeah, probably not Iowa's a team I'm probably not going to bet on. I like Kentucky. I think Kentucky's getting better and better. I think Kentucky is a real dangerous team going into March. Personally, I think Oregon's good, and you know I've sung the praises of Peyton Pritchard, and I will continue to do so. I'm not ready to say, like, I think Oregon's a Final Four type team, but they're good. I think Kentucky really stands out to me, honestly. And then LSU and Kentucky, you know, just in my mind, just going on based on who I think the best teams are, they would be ranked much higher than mm-hmm. they are now at 15 and 18, at least at what I'm looking at right now.
All right, so then we get down into the bottom of the top 25, and I want to bring up Illinois because that's not a team you usually talk about on a national basketball show, a team with a really, really good center in Kofi Coburn,
yep.
Who, you know, nobody expected. I mean, people knew he was good, but this good. This dude is a beast, absolute beast, and they've got dynamic wings. And so, you know, they don't have almost any tournament experience on this roster. Do you think that, you know, that's something that's going to hinder them, or do you think just like that skill translates no matter what?
The skill of dynamic wings and a good big man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, for lack of a better term. I think experience is important. I don't think it's end all be all, but yeah, I like teams that have experience. I'm not sold on Illinois right now. You know, like a number 20 ranking seems about right to me. So where does that get you in the tournament? Not even in the Sweet 16. So it's about where I see Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, I think that's accurate.
Anybody else that's not in the top 25 that you feel like should be?
Not in the top 25. Tough question. No, not necessarily. And I'm looking at that. Isn't it amazing? Michigan only had one vote. And there was a time, like 2 months ago, I thought Michigan was great. So it shows how little we know. But Michigan suffers some foot speed issues, especially in their front court. Yeah. But, yeah, no one stands out to me as anyone. I mean, I think, well, this is Creighton's 21. Kind of like this Creighton team.
That team shoots. Team shoots basketball.
Yeah, they're a dangerous team.
And one thing for Creighton, I mean, you know, this is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. But Creighton being so far west and playing in the Big East, it's a unique situation. When other teams come to them, that's a long travel. You know, that's halfway across the country. And Creighton comes in and play. You know, they play serious offense. You know, they're coming in and they're ready to go. So. You know,
and they have a great arena. They have great fan support.
Number
you
eight.
Know, it's an airplane flight, but it's a tough place to play, no doubt about it.
You know, it'd be one thing if Creighton was coming out there and plotting, you know, big classic Big Ten basketball like we saw with Maryland and Rutgers last night. God, that was an abomination. But Creighton's out here, number eight adjusted offense of the country for KenPom, and they're ready to roll. They come out, they're shooting. And that's an interesting team too. Someone who, you know, I think will fly under the radar because it took them so long to crack into the top 25. People are just going to assume that, you know, they aren't as good as this. Oh, they just kind of hopped in here last second. I don't know. You know, I'm always thinking about teams that the regular people in your NCAA bracket aren't going to think about. I imagine the Creighton not.
Yeah,
not
that's
be the
a good
case.
Strategy. If we want to start talking bracket strategy, I hear you there. If you're looking for an edge, you look for that non-sexy name team. Because yeah, we can, when you're at the office and you're not working in a sports place like this, right? A lot of people are just going to go for names they're familiar with and comfortable with. So yeah, Creighton's one to keep in mind.
All right, well that's just about it. You got any parting words, Jerry?
Not really. I saw right before I came in where Tom Izzo's really worried about what people on Twitter are saying about his players. And I thought he didn't look at Twitter. And he's upset about all the stuff he has to deal with. Okay, well, that kind of answered my question right there. I just find it funny, the self-righteous indignation of coaches. I mean, Roy Williams does it a lot, Coach K. I mean, they all do it. They're managing, they're controlling their program. But when you really look at the words, I find it quite humorous.
Look, I mean, some of these
coaches. I thought they swore off Twitter.
Some of these
didn't
coaches.
Didn't they swear off Twitter?
Always.
No, I thought Michigan State literally, like, swore off Twitter. Like,
oh, I don't know.
Like, how can what people are saying on Twitter bother you if you're not looking at Twitter? I don't know. Just stuff that confuses me.
I'm sure they'd say the idiot media like us would bring it up to them, but.
Someone said something bad about you. You know, people are saying, yeah, seems a little soft to me. But anyway.
That's soft these days. Soft is a loaded word, and I wouldn't use that, but I would just say that
I will use it.
I know you would, Jerry. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of these coaches, certainly if you're a coach of the best sports program at your university, you end up being one of the biggest public faces, and it's as much a PR job as it is a coaching job. And so in that regard, I definitely don't envy these major coaches. In pretty much every other regard, I do. You know, they're wealthy, successful, and get to coach basketball on a day-in-day-out basis, and I would love to spend more time in the gym. But, you know, that's about going to do it for us. It's February 5th, and we are excited for March. I can count the weeks on my one hand, and that's exciting for me as a college basketball fan. So, Jerry, until next week, I think we're going to sign off. I'm Tony Leavitt, and this is the 24/7 Sports College Basketball Show. We'll see you next time.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.